The Yeshir is dedicated to Rav Shmuel Shmuel Aryeh Ben Malka Fega, the Rav Shmuel Talk Shachol Yisrael. Very apropos to speak about Hanukkah on Thanksgiving, because the Lashon of Chazal, already ancient, Kavu Shmonas Yimei Hanukkah L'Hoydes U'L'Halal, the whole Takar of Hanukkah is to give thanks. So Thanksgiving is definitely the warm-up, you know, for what Hanukkah is all about. We're going to give thanks. Of course, we're going to discuss the particular connection that there is between Hanukkah and Chinuch. It's not just a play on words. I'll prove to you that actually Chinuch is the essence of Hanukkah. But before I begin, I want to throw out a few questions. All right, the Yevonim, you know, they took control of the Temple Mount. Why didn't they burn it to the ground? You know, when the Babliim got in there by the first temple, they burnt it. Right? And when the Romans got in there, once they broke in, they burnt it. The Yevonim were doing something else. Right, and we have to say what their agenda was. They didn't burn it. They defiled it. You know, it's like, what's on their mind? They have a particular hang-up with the oil, you know, of all things. They want to be Matama, the oil. You know, the revolt, you know, against the Yevarim was taken up by whom? Right, the Chashmonaim. Right, the Kohanim. And that's interesting to note. You know, they were not necessarily the biggest Talmidei Chachamim of the door. Right, they lived roughly in the door of Yoshua ben Parchia, Nitai Ha'arbeli, that Zug. They were not, you know, the heads of the Sanhedrin. They're not in the Rambam's list of the heads of the Mesorah, of the 40 generations, from Moshe Rabbeinu to Ravin and Ravashi. You know, they are not the ones that carried the Mesorah. Or maybe Talmidei Chachamim, there was for a brief while, we find in Chazal, an entity called Beis Din Shel Chashmonai, but they were not, you know, the leaders of the Grand Sanhedrin of 70 that sat on the Har HaBayis. It was Kohanim. It was Kohanim against you, not Talmidei Chachamim against Yevonim. And that's something which is something we have to look into. And this was foretold, because by the original Chanukah Sabayis in the Midbar of the Mishkan, you know, so as we know, Aaron was upset. He didn't partake. You know, Shevet Levi didn't bring for the Chanukah Sabayis. And God consoles him according to the Ramban. You know, the way he learns the Chazal is that he prompts him, there's going to come another Chanukah Sabayis, second temple period, right? And it's going to be your kids. It's going to be the Kohanim. The Chashmonaim are going to do it. So it was always meant to be something, it's Kohanim versus Yevanim, not Talmidei Chachamim versus Yevanim. That's something to think about. We just mentioned, you know, it was all foretold, because in the big Chanukah Samishkan that there was in the Midbar, Aaron didn't partake, so you know, God reserved Hanukkah for the Kohanim, right? So Rashi goes, you know, from Rav Moshe Darshan, discusses, you know, what, you know, this, everyone brought the same thing. You know, it's the same lane, it's a long lane he did of Parshas Naso. Every Shevet brought the same Matana, Karas Kesef Achal Shalshim Ben Mishkola, you know, you lane it during Hanukkah. You know, right, so Rashi goes in the name of Rav Moshe Darshan, explain what it represents, you know, you know, why they bring this particular gift for the Chanukah Samishkan. So Rashi starts going through it, and it's amazing what it alludes to. It alludes to the 930 years that Adam Rishon lived. And then Shloshim Yomei HaMishkol, wait, 130, that's how old he was when he had Shais. He was 130 when he begat Shais. Right? And then, you know, five sons, Gematria 500, that's how old Noach was when he had kids. Right? And at 20 years later, there was the Gzeirah of the Mabul. And then... Then Shivim, the word 70, refers to the Shivim Umos that came from Noah. Right? And then during the second half of the Matana, of the gift that they gave, it starts talking about Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Jewish stuff. You know, the Jewish stuff is part two. Right? Like the first half of the Matana that they gave talks about what for us is prehistoric. Right? You know, what happened before Avram Avinu was on the scene. And it's weird stuff. How long Adam Rishon lived, how old he was when he had kids. Noach, we don't care how long he lived, right? But he was 500 when he had kids, right? And 20 years earlier than that was the Gezeirah of the Mabul. It's all there in Rashi. What's that got to do with anything? You know, I was a Rebbe in Eish HaTorah in Yerushalayim for 5 years. Right? And we get some interesting characters that used to come through. So amongst the many different characters we got, you know, we got a real jock, like a real fitness freak. I mean, this guy was ripped. Like, the stuff that, you know, yeah, you see in, you know, workout magazines. So, yeah, he didn't last long by us. The greasy food was just not healthy enough, you know, for, right? But he wants to sit down with me and discuss something that he's very bothered by, the warped values of the Orthodox world. You know, we have very strange and warped values. And I asked him, what do you mean? So he said like this, you know, this last Shabbos, he went to visit a certain Hasidus, a well-known Hasidic group in Eretz Yisrael. And he walks in there, and this guy's, you know, built, and he always wore the type of clothes that show it off. You know, and the Hasidim, they don't even give him a first glance, let alone a second glance. They're all waiting, you know, for the Rebbe to come out. You know, so no one's giving him any attention. And then, so he's waiting. Who's this guy that they're waiting for to, you know, come out? And he's appalled. He said, that guy, he must have been like 60 pounds overweight. Right? And they're looking at him like he's God. Right? And me, you know, and I got this great body. And you think it came easy for me? It didn't come easy. I mean, I worked hard to get this body. Right? I mean, I deserve some recognition. So why is it like a guy who's 60 pounds overweight gets so much love and attention, admiration, adoration? Right? A guy like me who's cut, you know, no one even looked at me. It's interesting to hear it from the other side, right? But it's a serious question. What makes a man? What's it like? Now, not like, you know, having more than someone else. Like, everyone will admit, you know, I don't know if everyone will, believes. Everyone will admit, whether they believe it or not, that if you have more money than me, you're not a better person than I am. You just have more money. Right, so you have more resources, but, you know, out Adam, out Selim Elokim, not, you're not any, you know, you're not necessarily better than me because you've got more money. What does make a person more of a person? What? Being in great shape? Right? Knowledge. Right? You know calculus, I don't know calculus. Are you more of a person than I am? What makes, you know, an Adam, you know, like more of an Adam and less of a behemoth? Like you're more of a Tzelem Elokim. You're more man than I am. Not that you have resources that I don't have. You're more of a man than I am. Right? You know, the whole, what was special, for lack of a better word, about the Greeks, right? They weren't the first to invent the sciences or drama or aesthetics. That stuff was, right? The ancient Egyptians had plenty of science and architecture and things like that. And they had their own types of sport games. The thing that was this, you know, about the Greeks was they invented the idea of what's called culture. Culture as opposed to being a barbarian. Right? Their idea was that, you know, because we have these things, whatever made up Hellenism, their whole culture, there was a philosophical component and there were sports and whatever made up Hellenism. But because we have this, we're people. Whoever doesn't have this, they used to call them barbarians. There's like, there was a historian, Josephus, Josephus. And he wrote a few letters against the Greek thinkers of his day, even though he lived post-Hanukkah. But it was, you know, they were still around, you know. You know, they were driven out of Eretz Yisrael and they had to deal with the Romans, you know, but these, talking about the Jews are barbarians. They're barbaric, right? Because they're not cultured like we are. And that's the whole, you know, he writes a book against it, showing, the virtues and the values that the Torah gives us. There's nothing barbaric about being Jewish. But that was their thing. You know, they invented the idea of culture, the idea being that because I have science and you don't, I'm better than you are. Because I have sports and you don't, that's why I'm better than you are. And that was like their idea, that people have to accept Hellenism. They felt they're being makar of the world. They're humanizing and culturizing the world, improving humanity by spreading their culture everywhere. Like, there was like, there's a certain like frumkeit to it. Like, it was like, in their mind, you know, they're conquering you for your own good. Right? Kiruv, as it were. And kind of people goes, yeah, you're going to be cultured as opposed to if I leave you, you're barbaric and subhuman. So they come and they see Am Yisrael, right? And we have a different message, right, of what makes a man. to us, what makes a man is the Torah. Right? And we're going to discuss that a little bit more because that's how we're going to get into understanding the difference between limud and chinuch. Like, we have two different verbs. You could be malamid or it could be mechanech. And we're going to talk about in a minute just what the difference is between them, but we've already dropped a hint. Right? But they saw that Am Yisrael is not proud of their sports. They're not proud of, you know, the other things that people would call culture, fine arts. They have their Torah, they have their Avodas Hashem, that's their thing, and that's what they're proud of. That's what they feel makes them special. Drives the Greeks crazy. Right? They don't want to torch the Beis HaMikdash. Because, right? You know, the Babylonians wanted to torch the Beis HaMikdash just stomp to hurt us, because it's our symbol. Right? Romans just want to hurt us. Right? So they want to torch it. Right? The Greeks don't want to hurt us. They want to re-educate us. They want to convert us to their worldview. So they break into the Beis HaMikdash, right? And they don't burn it down. Right? They just establish a presence there. This thing that you call your pride and glory, no, no, no. Now we're here, and you should view Hellenism and adopt Hellenism as your pride and glory. They don't want to torch it. They want to convert it. Right? And that's Fetimu Kol HaShemayim. Yeah, they defiled all the oils. That's something very interesting. Chazal say, it's a Medrash in Parshas Tetzaveh, where we have the commandment of bringing, preparing the oil for the menorah. It says, Am Yisrael is compared to the olive. Zayis Ranan, right, we're called the olive because oil doesn't mix with the other liquids. Always rises to the top. Am Yisrael is always, you know, we're above the other nations. We're better. We're better than they are. You know, and that's what Chazal tell us on the pasuk Adam Atem, right? Ve'kachas tzom marisi Adam Atem Atem kuriyim Adam ve'na akum kuriyim Adam. We're called real human beings. We view everyone else as subhuman. Atem kuriyim Adam, right? We're better than everyone else because we're the chosen people. Right? Drives the Greeks crazy. Right? They think they're better than us. We're the ones who are the best. And that's they defiled the oils, the symbol that Am Yisrael is above all the other nations. And the oil also refers to the chokhmah of the Torah. The Gemara says that the people from Tekoa are very wise because there are olive groves in Tekoa. They eat a lot of olive oil. It's known. It's supposed to help, you know, the mind. So the wisdom of Am Yisrael, the fact that Am Yisrael is above all nations, they can't tolerate that. Drives them crazy. We're the homo superior, you know, the ubermensch, right? The superman, right? The real developed human being. Developed to the peak of of human perfection. Right? So go back to, you know, the idea of chinuch. Where do we find chinuch the first time in the Torah? Right? Or let's ask the question first. Like, if you know calculus and I don't, are you a better person than I am? I need someone to answer so I can drink my coffee. All right, I'm done. Listen, the answer's no. All right. Right, both of you said you having information that I don't have versus having money that I don't have. If you have assets that I don't have, right, that doesn't make you a better person. You just have more money. More assets, there's intellectual assets, like knowing mathematics, knowing physics, knowing philosophy. So wait a minute. So is the Talmud Chacham really better than I am? Intellectual asset. How you look at it? All right. But, you know a chazam, that something very interesting about Torah. Zocha naslo samachayim. Lo zocha naslo samamabes. Torah could actually be bad for a person who has bad midas, and he learns Torah. You know, he knows it, like the guy who has good midas. Samamabes. For him, Torah's poison. Right, there's something very interesting about Torah. It could actually be bad for you if you have bad midas. Like they say, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Right, you teach Torah to a person who doesn't know how to handle it properly or use it properly, you could use it as a basis for rationalizations, heterim. It's very interesting. You know, no one ever said that you have to have certain moral perfection in order to learn calculus or to learn physics. It's very interesting. The Torah could actually be, because I'll talk about it, being bad for you. Something interesting about Torah. Right? It's not just knowledge. Right? There's a certain real power there that makes it alive, a living energy that actually merges with the body. And, you know, if the body can take it, it builds it up. If the body can't take it, it becomes poison. There's a fascinating Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim. And with this, we're going to get back to what Moshe Darshan was talking about. The Rambam, you know, is the first third of the Mor Nevuchim's philosophical dictionary. It starts with an entry and shows how that word has a philosophical meaning. And it goes on the word yolad, to give birth. It says giving birth is not just a biological, you know, begetting children. It also goes on the intellect. How so? That's because when you give a person his values, not just information, but values, right? You know, his destiny, his worldview, you're actually giving birth to him. Now, because that person could be a whole different person, the way he's going to talk, the way he's going to act, you know, what he's going to do with his life. That's like recreating a person. And, you know, he alludes to the Chazal called Melamed es ben chavero Torah. Ma'ala v'kosa kiel yolda, you teach your friend's son Torah. It's like you gave birth to that kid. Because right? You gave him his values. And he says an amazing thing. He says, Adam had many kids. Not just Cain and Hevel and Shez. It says, Vayod bonim ubonos, the Torah just didn't tell us what their names were. But it only says by one of them, Vayod bidmusa ubitzamo, the tzom elokim that Adam had, you know, he passed on. Only by one. Which one? Shez. So as that pasuk that Rashi, the name of Moshe Darshan, referred to, Adam was 130 years old, Vayoled bidmuso ubitzamo. He gave over his tzelem. So it says the Rambam an amazing thing. All right. Very few people of all those generations between Adam and Noah, when all generations got wiped out by the flood, very few had a tzelem elokim. They were humanoids. They were humanoids. They weren't fully human. I mean, they were intelligent, and they had, you know, 10 fingers, and they could, you know, do things with their hands. They were subhuman in their madrega, because says the Rambam, it is the Torah that gives you your tzelem elokim, your divine image that the Adam has, which is the real glory of the Adam. The real glory of the Adam is his tzelem elokim. The Torah gives you that. Right. Only Shais was willing to be mekabel the Torah of Adam Arishon, says the Rambam, and that's why it's called Vayod B'Musa Tzelem. That's what it means when you teach someone else's kid Torah. It's like you gave birth to him. You gave birth to his tzelem elokim, his divine image. What makes him, which is the glory of the Adam, that makes the Adam better than a behemoth. Torah does that for you. I mean, when you learn Torah, Torah changes you. It's not just information. When you learn calculus or physics, it's information. And information is power, and you can find a way to make money out of it, but it doesn't change you that now you're a different type of person. You're more of a divine image. Torah has a certain living energy to it that if you take it in correctly, if you connect to it correctly, you're divine. You have a tzelem elokim. And that's what chinuch is all about. You know, what's the difference between chinuch and limud? Right? To be melamed is to impart information. That doesn't necessarily change a person. Just to make them aware, you know, shosh nogach sepora. You know, as you know, nimtza ubra betzida, machlokas sumchas and chachomim, what do you do? Right? That, you know, that the raw information is not going to change anybody. Right? But if you could cause that person to actually connect and internalize that information, yes, the person changes. And that person now is a different type of person. He is more divine than he was before. But you have to give it over in a certain way. Where's the first time we find chinuch in the Torah? Yes. You want to say? Oh, you have a question?
No. Okay.
There you go. Right. First time, Avraham Avinu. Right. Avinu, those who he educated, he wound up to liberate Lot. You know, he was in captivity by stone. So Rashi says something very interesting that really says it black and white, that Chanukah and Chinuch are one and the same. It says like this. Vayarok es chanichav. So one lashon is that's Eliezer shechin chol mitzvahs, educate him to keep mitzvahs. So listen to what Rashi defines chinuch. Vu lashon haschalach knisas adam o kli leumnushu asid lamod ba. It is the word that's used when a person or a object first enters the profession that it's destined to be in. It's to connect with your destiny. And he says, and we'll explain this more in a second. V'chein chanoch lenar, but the pasuk is not chanoch lenar al pi darko. V'chein chanukas hamizbeach. V'chein chanukas habayis. Rashi says chinuch by chanuk as in chanukas habayis, chanukas hamizbeach, chanoch lenar, all the same verb. It's not a play on words, all the same verb. When something begins to play its role in destiny, beginning your destiny, that's chinuch. It's not about imparting information. It is the beginning of becoming who you were meant to be, right? And starting what you were destined to do. That's what chinuch is. And that's what the pasuk Rashi brings the first example. Chanoch lenar al pi darko. How does the pasuk end off? Gam ki yaskin lo yasuman. That's what I mean. Even when he's old, he's not going to stray from the Torah, because a person that learns Torah with a sense of destiny, and this is what makes me a tzelem elokim. If he has that type of connection to Torah, sense of mission, sense of destiny, right? He's never going to leave learning Torah. If he looks at Torah as, you know, just absorbing information, get sick of it at one point, or do something else. Now, you understand that this is your destiny, and this is what, you know, what you were created for. Right? So it makes you more of a man. When you have that type of sensitivity, right? Gam ki yaskin, that's what the person will never stray from Divrei Torah, when he sees it that way. It's his destiny. Right? But how do you do that? You have to feel that the Torah is a part of you. It's not just information. Right? That's what the Kohanim do. It is not a coincidence. The Kohanim were already destined, you know, to be the Rabbeim of Am Yisrael. Like Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Bracha to Shevet Levi, Yoru Mishpatecha LeYaakov V'Saros LeYisrael. They were designated to be the Rabbeim. The Pasuk says in Malachi, Ki Sifsei Kohen, Yishmu Das Torah V'Vakshon Mipiyu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokos Hu, right, the lips of the Kohen guard the knowledge, and people want Torah from his mouth, right? For he is like an angel, and that's, from there, Chazal learn out that the Rav has to be Domei LeMalach, and that Pasuk is talking about a Kohen. They were always traditionally the teachers. Not necessarily the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, right? But they were always the teachers. Because Hillel Omer, Hevei mi Talmidov shel Aaron, Oev Shalom, Verodev Shalom, Oev Sabrius, Umekarvan LaTorah. Created intimacy and a relationship with Torah. The Kohanim were very good at making a person feeling korov, related, and close to the Torah. Right? That's, you know, not just dumb information. Korov could be like a lotion of being related, like a relative. It's like family. Part of a person, what a person is, what he calls home, is his family. The Kohanim had a special gift of making people feel that way. And that's why they were the designated teachers, because that's what chinuch is. Chinuch is not about imparting information. Chinuch is about giving it over in a way that the person internalizes it and feels close to it, feels that it's his destiny. It's what makes him more of a person. And of course, that Torah will make you feel like more of a person, the Torah that you internalize and feel intimate and close with, and that's the gift that the Kohanim have. So how Torah makes a man... How Torah makes a man? The Kohanim, you know, were traditionally those that can make that connection between the Torah and the person that shouldn't just be information, right? But feel the living energy in Torah, how it makes you more of a Tzelem Elokim, and how it gives you your destiny, right? And how you could feel that this is what you were born for, is what makes you more of a man. And now we could, and so, and that's what, and if that's what Chinuch is, Chanukas Habayis was that the base image was a national representation of how we're different. We're better people than the rest of the world. So in the individual, it's chinuch. For the nation, it's Chanukas Habayis. Right? That the base image that represents, belongs to all Am Yisrael. The Chanukah was to put the Shechina there, and we are better than the rest of the world because we're God's chosen, and we have the Shechina in our midst. But it's called a bias. We live there. So we're family with the Shechina. So that's why the Yevonim were hung up with defiling the Beis HaMikdash. They think they're special because of this. We want to put Hellenism there. Right? We want to show that our stuff makes special. That was their statement. And the contra to that were the Kohanim. Because the Kohanim are the ones that make Am Yisrael integrated with the Torah. The Torah is not just information, but the Torah becomes related and close to us, so as it changes our tzelem, changes our perspective on life, makes us more of a man. And that's what brings us back right now to the chanukah, right? The gift that was brought by the Chanukah Samizbeach, right? Ideal man, no one could argue. Ideal man is the man that God Himself created, Adam Rishon. All right, so it initially alludes to Karas Kesef is Gematria 930, right? Because that's how long Adam Rishon lived. He was perfect man. Like, no one could disagree. That's man. That's Adam, because that's the Adam that God Himself created. Question is, what's the real continuation and, you know, the real model that's as close as possible to the man that God Himself created? So, Shalshim Mishkala can't disagree that the first continuation of Adam was Shes, Vayol Ben Musa B'Tzalmo. And then the competition starts. Because there's two types of human form out there. There's the B'nai Noach, right? And then there's, you know, Am Yisrael. The good guy is called the Ben Noach throughout Chazal. You know, the bad guy is called Akum. Right? And the good guy who keeps his seven mitzvahs is called the Ben Noach. Right? Noach was 500 years old when he gave birth, you know, to Shem, Ham, and Yefes. So in light of that Rambam that we quoted, to give birth doesn't just mean biologically. He gave over his Torah, and he created B'nai Noach. And 20 years earlier, the Mabel was decreed, meaning they have a good time. You know, the Tzelem that we have, the Tzelem of B'nai Noach, is perfectly adequate. Because if God didn't like it, we would have died in the Mabel with everyone else. So there was already a Gzera of the Mabel 20 years earlier, and so Noach had us, made the B'nai Noach, Shem, Chom, and Yefes, and then the Shivim Umos to come out of his throne. Good enough, man enough. Because if we wouldn't be man enough, we'd have died in the Mabel like everyone else. That's their Taina. Right? Am Yisrael has to respond to that Taina. I mean, being a Ben Noach, being a good, upright, you know, secular person, and, you know, secular men have their seven mitzvahs. Right? It's good enough. Am Yisrael has to respond to that. And that's why it's alluded to by the Chanukas HaMizbeach, right? Because the Shechina now is going to dwell in Am Yisrael as the chosen people, the people that are better, right? And it's a statement that the Tzelem, the human form, the humanity of the Bnei Noach is not adequate. It may be enough to be spared from the Mabel, right? But animals were also spared from the Mabel, right? Real humanity, but we have to respond to that. Real humanity is the higher tzelem that Am Yisrael has, and that's why. You know, one of those Tariq mitzvahs. They have seven. We have 613. What does 613 represent? Ramach and Shasa, Ramachar, because I need to take a drink. Limbs. And the Shasa? The Ginnim. Right. It represents the human form. When you learn Torah, you're recreating yourself. You're recreating yourself totally. The Torah that we got, the difference between 613 and 7, is like a whole new human form. New organs, new sinews, recreating the tzelem of the Adam in a superior fashion. So that's when our God is now going to put his Shechina amongst Amazon, separate them from the rest of the nations of the world. We have to make a statement. The other way is not good enough. May have been spared from the Mabel. It's not good enough. And by the way, this explains a lashon that we have, a Ben Torah. Right? A Ben Torah. That's, you know, everything about this is retarded. When you have a guy, you know, a guy learns physics. He's a Ben Physics, right? Ben Physics, a Ben Calculus, right? Why is a person, right? We have this strange little shyness. Ben Torah. Ben Olam Haba. Right? Whereas, you know, if a person's rich, you're like Ben Ashirus. You know, you're a Ben Torah, you're a Ben Olam, because, right, when you learn Torah, Torah refashions. It's like you're reborn. You're reborn. And you know why you go to Olam Haba? Because you have that superior tzelem. You're a Ben Olam Haba, because you've been refashioned and reborn in a superior way that's capable of immortality. That's why you go to Olam Haba. Because Torah makes you reborn. Refashioned. And when you are refashioned, that's why you're Zoche, to go to Olam Haba. And this was all alluded to in the Gzeira of the Mabel. Right? that that was the Mabul. I've had it with man. 120 years. In 120 years, I'm bringing the Mabul. And the Gemara says in Chulin, that's a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu. B'shagam is gematria Moshe. That when God said, I'm calling it quits, I had enough, you know. He didn't spare Noach for the sake of Noach. He spared Noach for the sake of, eventually, it'll be a Moshe Rabbeinu and it'll be a Matan Torah. That's why it's alluded to in the Gzera of the Mabul. Don't think that anyone, just stam, anyone who survives is good enough. Whoever's going to survive, it's, even if they're not going to be Jewish, it's only because they're going to set the stage and lead into Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're the real reason why Noach was spared. Noach and the Bnei Noach were spared because they lead into Am Yisrael. It's all for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's all for the Torah. Right? But you have to learn Torah that way, with that type of feeling, that you know every time you're learning, it's like you're absorbing life-sustaining energies. You're absorbing destiny. Right? You're absorbing what makes you special. And that type of learning or teaching Torah that way, that's what's called chinuch, as opposed to stam being malamed. And that's what the Kohanim do. Right? It's that they had a special gift for that. And that's why it was Kohanim versus Yevonim. Because the question is, what makes a man in this world? Right? What makes man, what makes a person better? What makes a person less of an animal? What makes a person above the barbarian? They said it was their culture, we say it's the Torah. But the ones who teach the Torah that way, in a way that's not dead information, but it's alive, umekarvan latar is the Kohanim. That's why the contrary to the Yevonim are the Kohanim, because the Kohanim had the special gift of making the Torah not just information that came from heaven, but putting that power inside of us, infusing it within us, making it alive and a part of us, so you have more of a tzalukim, and you are more of a person than a goy. But that's only if you learn Torah that way. And that was a special gift that the Kohanim had. Right? So as we approach Hanukkah, right? And that's what we have to sit down, you know, with our kids and make them understand, right, that it wasn't just about a victory, a military victory. There was a statement over here, right? That they said that culture makes a person more of a person. We say it's Torah and Avodas Hashem. Right? The more you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what makes you a better person. If you serve God better than me, you are a better person. You can be more of an Eved Hashem than I am. Right? That's right. You are more of a person. That's what the Navi says in the future. V'shaftim reisim ben tzadik l'rasha ben oved elokim la'asher lo avaro. We'll see in the future the difference between a tzadik l'rasha, but not just that. The difference between someone who served God and a person who didn't serve God. Right? And what does Chazal say on that? Zesh, right? Zesh shon epirko mea part. Zesh shon epirko mea vechvav. Even the difference between a guy who chazered 100 times, that's lo avodah. That's not called serving God. The guy who chazered 101, that's avodah. And pasuk says we're going to see the difference. Yes, right? Chazering one more time makes a difference. You're a different person, better than the other guy. But of course, it's the way when the Torah is nasa samachaim. The Torah is like an elixir of life. When you learn Torah with the right midas and with the right, you know, with the right ritzoinus to do Ratzon Hashem and with the kavanah to internalize it, and that way of learning, like we said, is called chinuch. And if you don't have a mechanech, you weren't zochet to have a rebbe like that, then you have to teach yourself Torah that way. First thing I learned from my rebbe Moshe Shapiro when I first met him first time, said ben adam tzrich lechanech et atzmo. You have to be your own mechanech. If you weren't zochet to have a rebbe like that, your rebbe just gave it over as like dead information. You know, you gotta get a good grade on the test, right? So if you didn't have that, you're gonna have to do it for yourself. That when you sit down and you teach yourself or you chazer, you know, this type of kavanah, that this is not just information that came from heaven, which is chashuv in its own right, information, but this is something which I can make a part of myself, and it will bring out my tzelem elokim. And if I learn it with this type of kavanah, that I want to be umbekarvan l'Torah, close to the Torah, like the Kohanim used to make us feel, close to the Torah, related to the Torah. If you learn it that way, if you're spiritually sensitive, you could feel how you're a different person after you learn. But you have to learn it with this kavanah, that you want to be mechanech yourself. Right? So Rosh Hashanah should help, because chanoch lanar al pi darko gam ki yaskin lo yosur mimena. Right? When you do chinuch successfully, you make a person feel connected to the Torah, and the Torah is his destiny. It's not just dumb information. Because all the stuff they taught us in high school, we forgot it already. doesn't even have a sense of mission or sense of destiny from it. But you want gam kiyaskim lo yasur mimena. You have to learn Torah this way. But it's more than that, guys. It's about the future of our nation, right? We want to make sure that, you know, there'll be from a yidden 100 years from now, 200 years from now, that Am Yisrael's going to stick with it. I know we don't think that, you know, we don't think past next week. I know, right? But you know, really, right? The idea of the chinuch vision, right, of teaching Torah in a way people feel connected and makes us special, And when you learn Torah, you should feel that way. This is what makes me special. It's what made our nation special, that God chose us and gave us the Torah. Right? It's important if we're going to not just ensure that we're going to stay from and our kids will stay from, but that Am Yisrael is going to stick with the Torah, l'orach yamin v'shanim, until Mashiach Tzitzeinu comes. And that's why Hanukkah was the last miracle of our history. It was the last miracle. Shortly after Hanukkah, 20 years later, we went into this long and bitter ghost that we are in. Ad Hayom Hazeh, Hanukkah was the last miracle, right? Because that Pach Shemen has to burn, not just for 8 days, it has to burn until Mashiach comes. It was the last miracle to keep us going through this long and hard, dark gullus. Right? That the sense of chinuch, that you know, you don't just learn Torah, you live Torah, you're connected with Torah, Torah is your life. Ki hem chayenu, that's what chinuch is, as opposed to stam limud. And that, in the good old days, the Kohanim were in charge of that. Now that, you know, they lost their post, right? We have to make sure to do it ourselves.
Go ahead. Thank you.